Good morning, everyone, wherever you may be. We are in the period of time that are 30 days before Pesach, and the question I want to deal with this morning is there any difference between today and, let's say, a month before today? Is there any difference between whatever date it is today in the Hebrew calendar, where Mamish a few days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or there's no difference? Today is Kaf whatever in Adar, and a month ago it was Kaf whatever in Shvat, and a month before that it was Kaf whatever in Tevet. And there's no difference, because we woke up this morning, and if you chose to, you can eat chametz. And if you chose not to, you didn't eat chametz. Now everybody around this table agrees that if we would ask this question about Manishtana Tet Zayin Nisan from Tet Zayin Adar, the answer would be simple. What's the answer? Tet Zayin Nisan is the second day of Pesach. If you chose to eat chametz, why are you all looking at me like I asked a question of rocket science that you've never heard of in your life?
What's the question?
Tet Zayin Nisan, the second day of Pesach. You woke up in the morning and you have an urge to eat chametz. May you or may you not? Of course not. So my question is, today, what's the Hebrew date? Kaf Zayin Adar. You woke up in the morning. You can choose to eat chametz. Right. And you can choose not to. Fine. A month ago, Tet Zayin Shvat. You woke up in the morning. You can choose to eat chametz. Or you can choose not to. Fine. Is anything different from Tet Zayin Adar to Tet Zayin Shvat to Tet Zayin Tevet? Or nothing's different? In order to answer this question, everybody here around the table would probably throw at me, no, we're within the 30 days before Pesach. So besides people getting crazy and nuts about cleaning, is there any difference halachically during these days with regard to chametz? So if you would have asked me in the middle of the night, I'd say no. Pesach comes, you're not allowed to eat chametz. Before Pesach you are. So in order to answer this question,
all the more, so you would need more of it to use it up.
Pardon?
Your wife always said, you know, eat up all the noodles now.
Fine, eat up all the noodles, eat up the rest of the noodles, give it away, that's fine. But the bottom line is there any difference in our relationship to chametz halachically during these days? In order to answer this question, we have to just put down the basics. Top of the source sheet, as you can see, in the Gemara in Tzachim, Daf Dalet Amud Bet, the Gemara says, "Dikat chametz midrabbanan hu." To check the house for chametz, meaning clean the house and get rid of the chametz physically, that's a rabbinic enactment. Pesach cleaning is a rabbinic enactment. Why? To midoraita, from the Torah, bitul ba'al masagile. You can do bitul chametz, what you say on Erev Pesach, kol chamira b'chamia, all the chametz I have, either it's like dust, or I'm mafkirit, I'm making it ownerless. That's enough in terms of God. You don't have to clean the house for Pesach. Outside of koshering your kitchen, in order to have kosher for Pesach food, you don't have to clean the house. You can have Cheerios everywhere. You can have liquor in the liquor cabinet. You can have anything you want around the house. The Chachamim, for various reasons, decided, no, we are not going to do that. We want you to physically get rid of the chametz. What was the way of saying it? They didn't say clean for Pesach. They said, do bedikat chametz. Check if there's any chametz left in your house. Fine. So, just to get our bearings straight, God said you don't have to clean for Pesach outside, of course, your kitchen if you want to eat. And the rabbi said, no, get rid of it for various reasons. We'll talk about that maybe next week. Why did the rabbis decide it's not good enough to do bitul chametz? From our perspective, when does the obligation to start getting rid of chametz begin? Or in the way of putting it in the words of Chazal, when does bedikat chametz begin? That obligation to check for chametz. When does it begin?
Erev Pesach.
Erev Pesach. What do you mean Erev Pesach?
A day before Pesach.
A day before Pesach, precisely.
The night
before Pesach. The first Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim says, or La'arba Asar, the night before Yud Dalet Nisan, which is Erev Pesach, you check the chametz. Actually, that's true. If you're planning to be home on that night, true. The Gemara in Pesachim in the next source, Daf Vav Amud Aleph, says, HaMefaresh V'hayotze B'Shayara, if a person is going away for Pesach, Kodim Shloshim Yom Ein Zakuk Leva'er, Toch Shloshim Yom Zakuk Leva'er. If you leave your house within the 30 days before Pesach, the night before you leave, you have to get rid of all the chametz and check your house if there's nothing left. If you leave prior to that, namely prior to Purim, you don't even have to do bedikat chametz. You're not planning to be there on Pesach. Plus, you're not home within 30 days before Pesach. All you got to do on Erev Pesach is Midoraita bebito be'alma saga. You do bito chametz verbally. That's all. The Gemara asks, Haini shloshi yom ayavititiu. Where did you come up with this magic number 30? Why did you say 30? Why didn't you say 40? You understand the question of the Gemara? If the rabbi said it's not good enough to just do bitul, you have to get rid of the chametz, why is that only within 30 days before Pesach? And if they say you don't need to do it, then don't need to do it at all. Why 30 days? Why not 40 days? Why not 50 days? Why 10 days? Why not just the night before? Well, how did they come up with this magic number 30? You already have an answer?
No, but I'm wondering why you use the word bitul, which means you're nullifying, so it really is there. Suppose it's hafker. Hafker, you're allowed to say it's not mine, it's one of us. I understand hafker is something.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a different time. What is the word hefker mean? What does the word afar mean? What is bitul chametz? Yeah. That's a different question, it's a different story. And why is it it's not good enough in the eyes of the rabbis? That's a shir unto itself. From our perspective, why 30 days? Kidetanya Brisa, left side of the page. As my son says, Sholim v'dorshin b'hilchot ha-Pesach kodem ha-Pesach shloshim yom. So Noam knows from day one, he was taught that 30 days before Pesach, he start learning the laws of Pesach. Oh, if 30 days before Pesach, he start learning the laws of Pesach, it must be that 30 days before Pesach has some significance. Thus, 30-day mark, that's when you have to start getting rid of your chametz. If you're at home, you leave the home 31 days before Pesach.
You don't have to.
You don't have to. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees, and he says it's only 2 weeks, and they both have a source for what they say as to why is it that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says 2 weeks, and the Chachamim say 30 days. In any case, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Siman Tov Lamed Vav on the bottom of the chart, HaMefaresh Miyabasha Layam, if a person's going out to sea, from our perspective, going away for Pesach, Tok Shloshim Yom Zakuk Livdok, Kodim Shloshim Yom Ein Zavzuk. So if you're home within 30 days before Pesach, you have to get rid of the chametz physically by getting rid of it and then checking that nothing is left. That's the halacha. Everybody knows that's the halacha. My question is very simple. 30 days. So we know what it's based on. You start learning the laws of Pesach 30 days. Does anything change during those 30 days? We're within those 30 days right now. Is anything change halachically with regard to a loaf of bread? Because everyone around this table agreed earlier that you can eat a loaf of bread this morning if you choose to. So what changed? What changed? Just the very fact that you have to check for chametz if you leave, that's it? Or something changed? So if you look at Rashi on the right side of the page, you'll see that Rashi says something amazing. But let's start first with the Meiri on the left. The Meiri says, Ho'il v'kvar itchilu li'itasek b'hilchot ha-Pesach, because we started to learn the laws of Pesach, harei chovat bi'or mimashmeshet uba'a. Says the Meiri, it's a good idea. It's a good idea for someone who is about to get into a period of time where he has to get rid of his chametz to start early. You know that person that learns for the test and crams the night before? Every teacher will tell you it's a bad idea. You fill your head with information, you may get a good mark on the test, the next day, everything you filled your head with oozes out from your ear and never comes back in. Every teacher will tell you, when you learn for a test, take a luach, take a yoman, take a planner and start slowly but surely and gradually learning for it. So says the Meiri, in a few more days, within a month, you're going to have to get rid of all your chametz. So the chachamim were smart and said, do it gradually, within the 30 days. Because if you wait for the last minute, what's going to happen? You'll be away. Your house is full of chametz. Thus, you didn't fulfill the rabbinic enactment of checking for chametz. So, get your bearings straight. To give you a proof for the Meiri, the Mishnah Berurah says, during this period of time, katvu achronim, When the Mishnah Berurah says Katvu Achronim, and he doesn't give a source, usually in the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom he'll tell you which Achronim he looked at. The Chafetz Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah, Rav Yisrael Meir HaKohen Miradin, basically in his introduction says, I'm not going to quote every Achron out there, I'm going to quote the ones that are quoted on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. So he looked and he said, the Achronim said, Kol Shloshim Yom, within the 30 days of Pesach, Tzarich La'ayen B'chol Davar Haroseh, Shlo Yisher B'chametz B'ofen Shlo Yichol Asiro B'nekel. Says the Mishnah Berurah, just along the lines of the Meiri, it's a good idea that if you're reading this Shabbos over a piece of cake, and a cup of tea. You know, Jews can't do just one thing at once. When they read a book, they need to eat something. So a good Jew takes out a piece of cake, makes a mizonot, good Jew, and then starts learning. And he says, maybe you should be a little more careful within the 30 days that no crumbs should get into the books. Maybe you should be a little more careful when you eat your cereal over there in front of
on the upcoming holiday.
Exactly. According to the Meiri, bread remains bread. Bread remains bread. But because Pesach is coming, it's a good idea to start getting ready. It's a good idea. Fine. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah and says, I'll give you another good idea. If you're eating Cheerios, take a broom and dustpan afterwards. That's all that changed. Nothing changed. From our perspective, bread is bread. That's fine. Rashi doesn't agree. Or my reading in Rashi doesn't agree. Look at Rashi on the right side. Rashi says about this 30-day thing. Keneged she'shoalin b'hilchot ha-Pesach kodem ha-Pesach 30 yom. That's why it's 30 days. Now listen to these words of Rashi. When Rashi wrote something, he wrote it succinctly, usually his students, and you have to medayek in his words. Listen. U'me'az! And from the 30-day mark, Chala lavli hizaher b'tzorchei ha-Pesach. Anyone want to translate? Don't use modern Hebrew to translate.
Where is chalat?
Chal alav, it's accompanied upon him.
To keep in mind.
To keep in mind, he doesn't say. What's lihizaher in rabbinic language?
Be careful.
That's modern Hebrew.
Commemorate.
No, that's liskor. Lihizaher means it's an iser. From that time on, there's an iser of chametz. Let me put it another way. According to Rashi, within the 30-day period, bread turns into chametz, but you're allowed to eat it. All year long, bread is not chametz. Bread is bread. Chametz means something you can't eat. Bread is something you can eat. But from 30-day mark on, and within that time, says Rashi, you have an obligation on yourself to call bread chametz. But you're allowed to eat it. No. And I'll tell you why. According to the Meiri, bread remains bread until Pesach. Then bread turns into chametz, meaning something forbidden to eat. In the Torah, when we talk about chametz in reference to Pesach, it means something you don't want to eat, or have, or own, or get benefit from. Says Rashi, bread remains bread for most of the year, but 365 days minus 30, bread turns into chametz. But, says Rashi, within the 30 days, it's chametz you're allowed to eat. It's like a forbidden food you're allowed to eat. It's like pig that a person's allowed to eat if he's dangerously ill. The pig remains usser for every other Jew. It's an isser you're eating, albeit you're allowed to eat it. Says the Meiri, no, bread remains bread. But why do you have to do bedikat chametz? It's a good idea, get ready early. So basically, we have a big machlokas here between Meiri and Rashi. According to Rashi, Meiri, bread remains bread, Cheerios remains Cheerios all year long except for on Pesach. According to Rashi, the way I read Rashi, bread turns into something forbidden to eat, albeit you're allowed to eat it till Pesach. And what is his proof? Because you have to do bedikat chametz. Why would you do bedikat chametz to get rid of food that's not forbidden? It makes no sense. Do bedikat chametz to get rid of the chicken soup. But the chicken soup you're allowed to eat on Pesach, so why would you do bedikat chametz to get rid of it? Rashi says, the only way I can contemplate to do bedikat chametz 30 days before Pesach, if bread turns into chametz, something forbidden to eat. Now again, we're playing around with words. Is bread bread or bread into chametz? Now let's see if there's any ramifications for what I say, because I can philosophize. Is bread chametz or is bread bread? That's a nice philosophical question. You've got to get a philosopher here who will tell you from what era is that philosophical question from and what ramifications it has in philosophy. I'm not a philosopher, I'm practical. Any practical ramifications from what I said? Yes, Bruce.
First of all, I imagine it's chametz all year long, but then Pesach time you can't eat it.
No, that's what I'm trying to say. Chametz in Hebrew means something forbidden to eat.
So let's say the word like malacha. Malacha you're allowed to do, except on Shabbat. Muksa, is you can. Everything is permitted.
That's the difference.
When nothing is permitted.
That's the difference, you're right. Every time the Torah says malacha, it says Yesh Yamim Ta'aseh Melacha. Then on Shabbos you shouldn't do malacha, so malacha remains malacha, just during the week it's allowed, and on Shabbos it's not. Chametz, when the Torah uses chametz, most of the time, It's because you can't use it or you can't eat it, either with reference of Pesach or in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayikra, with regard to Korbanos. Kisor chol chazor v'chol dvash of tkir men Hashem Hashem, and most of the Korbanos also don't have chametz, except for a few. So ultimately, chametz is something forbidden. It's a forbidden word, something you can't eat. Bread is something you can eat. So I'm playing around with words here, but we're going to see a ramification in a moment, and you'll understand why I'm so medayik in Rashi when he says, Chalalav liyizaher betzochei ha-Pesach, is another way of saying, it's now turned into something forbidden. Yes?
I've said like this, that bread has the potential to be chametz during a certain time period, on a condition, two conditions, if it's in the possession of a Jew, or used or eaten by a Jew.
So correct.
It needs to be qualified.
Right.
It's not a direct equation. It's a conditional. Correct.
It's a conditional equation. Rashi says if the rabbis basically made an enactment that 30 days before Pesach you have to check for chametz, they turn bread into chametz. Albeit you're still allowed to eat it, but they turn bread into a forbidden food. Now, is there any ramifications for what I say? I think there's three. Number one, if you check for Pesach because you're leaving your house early, within 30 days before Pesach, let's say tonight someone's leaving for Pesach, they're not coming back till after Pesach, tonight they have to check their house for chametz. Do they make a bracha? Why? The rabbi said you have to check for chametz. Why don't they make a bracha? So if you look on the source sheet, you'll see, the chol eilu shebotkim kodem azman, says the Meiri, yesh omrim, left side, she'en mevarchim, you don't make a bracha. Why? Lefi she'en shata mitzvah lami or abasar. Meiri says, how can you make a bracha asher kedishanu b'mitzvot v'tzivanu al bi'or chametz when it's not chametz, it's bread? How do I know it's bread? Because the next morning, and the morning afterwards, and this Shabbos, and then next Shabbos, I'm still going to eat bread. So you can't make that bracha. Okay, you have to check the house, because it's a good idea, but you don't make a bracha al bi'or chametz. But says the Meiri, left, right side, v'yeshomrin shemivarchim. The Ritva says, v'dat hara'azal, the Ra'ah, the Ramban, these are the people, the Rishonei Sfarad, that we learned the Gemara with, the chol shezakuk liva'er, any time you have to get rid of the chametz, mivarech al habi'or, v'nirim advarim toch lamet yom dafka. Within the 30 days you make a bracha al bi'or chametz, because the rabbis turn bread into chametz, something forbidden to eat. Albeit you have a heter to eat it. So first ramification, is bread bread or bread chametz? Do you make a bracha? According to Meiri, you can't make a bracha because it's not chametz, it's bread. The real mitzvah is the night of the Arba'asar, the night of the Yudalit, right before Pesach. According to the other view, if it turned into chametz, meaning something forbidden, you can make a bracha.
Can rabbis have the power to do that, to change the reality of
that's things? A beautiful question. We once asked that question around this table. Do the rabbis have an ability to change reality? Or maybe they can just tell you, you can't do it, but reality remains reality.
Right.
Okay, a nafkamina for your question is a very simple one. If the rabbi said you can't eat food cooked by a non-Jew, so a non-Jew takes the most kosher food in the world, puts it in the most kosher pot in the world, and cooks the food. Everyone agrees you can't eat it. Do you have to kosher the pot? Machlokas. We paskin in general, yes, but that's the machlokas. The rabbis have an ability to change reality. God said the food is kosher. The rabbi said you can't eat it, so I can't eat it. Do they trafe up the pot or they don't trafe up the pot?
He's saying the dog is a cat.
Right. That's exactly the question we dealt with around this table a few times. So God willing, if we didn't make it clear, we'll do it again. The halacha we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, like every other time there's a suffix and a bracha, is no. Toch shloshi yom zakuk levev v'lo yivarechas al bi'or chametz. And again, in my opinion, it's dependent upon this. Is bread bread or bread chametz? Ramification number two. Let's say you have no house on the night of the 14th. You're homeless. You sold your home. You didn't buy a new home. You don't have any house. Or you sold your home to a goy. You did mechiras chametz and ahoha. You have no house. Yisrael ha-yotzeh mi-beit eino yudi toch 30 yom, says the Shulchan Aruch. Ve'nichnas be-bayit acher ba'ir. You get out of the house of a non-Jew, that's owned by a non-Jew, and you go into a new home. Or lech le'ir acher, he goes to another city. Eino zakuk, eino tzarich le-fayer, beita eino yudi. Shari yekayem mitzvat b'yur betol bayit acher. He doesn't have to go do bedikas chametz on the other house. Why? Because he has a new house. Simple, right? I move from one house to a new house. That's my house now for Pesach. That's when I have to check. But if he leaves his home and he's not going to be home, left side, If a non-Jew is going to live there, he doesn't have to check the house for Pesach. According to Meiri, it makes perfect sense. Why did they do this bedikat chametz 30 days before? To get ready for Pesach. It's a good idea not to have chametz in the house. But you're not going to be there anyway, so why check? Right side, v'yesh mi shomer, shechal alav chovat ha-biyur, kivan shu toch lamid yom. But according to the other point of view, you do have to check the house for chametz and get rid of the chametz. Why? Because 30 days before Pesach, bread turns into chametz. You are in a house where bread turns into chametz. You have an obligation to take out that forbidden food from the house. Mm-hmm. Even though you're not going to be there on Pesach. So if the whole idea of the 30 days is a good idea and bread remains bread, if I'm not going to be there, why do I have to check? But if I'm not, but according to the other point of view, if bread turned into forbidden food, albeit I'm still allowed to eat it, you can understand why you have to check the house, even if you're not going to be there during Pesach.
Is there any fear that you might be there? And that's why everyone is going to check?
That could be. Could be. Not necessarily. Okay? Not necessarily. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why is it that according to one view you don't have to check? The whole idea of checking 30 days is a good idea. But if you have no chametz, you have no chametz. So we gave two ramifications so far. Is bread bread, or bread turns into forbidden food 30 days before, albeit you're allowed to eat it? One ramification is, do you make a bracha? I say you can't make a bracha for a very simple reason. You can't call bread chametz if you're allowed to eat it. Bread means something forbidden to eat. Second ramification, that you have to check for chametz if you're not even going to be there for Pesach, and you're going into a new home. Third ramification, turn it to the last page. We're not going to go through all of the sources, but to make a long story short, is chametz what we call hetera bala or isura bala? Hetera bala means that you cooked something in a pot that you're allowed to eat, and with time it turned into something forbidden. Can anyone give me an example of that from this week's Parsha? Next week's Parsha? Next week's Parsha. Parsha Tav. There's something in the Korah called notar. What's notar?
When you have in mind something the wrong time, place, date.
No. Corbin, you're getting mixed up with Me'ila. What's notar?
That you left it out.
It's very simple. What's notar? You had a Korban Pesach. You brought it to the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Pesach. You then barbecued it properly. You then put it on your Seder table. You then ate it, and you had leftovers in the dish.
You planned on Seder.
Up until either Chatzot or the next morning, that dish and that Korban Pesach can be eaten. It's kosher. From Alot HaShachar, let's be Mekel, it turns into notar, leftover, forbidden to eat, and you have to kosher the dish now. So the same dish that had the same food, the whole difference is, it changed the day. You left it over.
I thought that was even worse. You had in mind to eat it.
Now that's Me'ila, that's a different story. It's a different story. I'm talking about, and this is a very simple thing. That's nota, that's a tera bala. Namely, something that you ultimately wanted, it was kosher, and it turned with time into non-kosher. What's isura bala? Simple. You take a piece of pig, you put it into your kosher pot, you cook it up, the kosher pot swallowed a forbidden taste. That's isura bala. Isura bala, pig. Hetera bala, notar. The Gemara says, how do you view chametz? So let's think about this a second, huh? Chametz I'm allowed to eat today. So if I cooked noodles in a pot, anyone around this table will say you have to kosher the pot?
To be used on Pesach.
Doesn't make sense to me. You kosher something because there's something forbidden. Noodles today, you're allowed to eat?
Yeah.
So how do you kosher something that doesn't need koshering? Doesn't make sense, right?
According to Rashi,
on Pesach, that taste in the pot is awesome.
So the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Lamed Amud Bet, says, I'm on the Rabbeinu Lavashi. Ha sakina bepischa, I brought you all the English translation. There's knives that we use all year. How do we prepare them for Pesach? So Ravashi answers, very simple. I'll tell you how you prepare my knives for Pesach. Lididi chadata kavidanan. What does Ravashi say? I don't kasha nothing. I got kosher for Pesach dishes. Every Jewish home, no one understands when they're non-Jewish. How come they come into a non-Jewish home and there's like, I don't know, 5 cupboards in the kitchen? They come into a Jewish home, there's 15. So they understand why there's 10. You need meat and milk, but why 15?
The same thing for Pesach.
To be more precise, 20. So no one understands why a kosher kitchen needs all these cupboards. So Rav Ashi said, I don't need the kosher. I got the kosher for Pesach things. So it says, Amar Le, they say to him, Tenach Marda Efshar Le. You got money. You have money for all this. But us guys, we're poor. De lo Efshar Le Mar Mar Le. If we can't, we can't. So he says, this is what you do. You do Hagalas Kalim for the things that were swallowed by via of water. And other things you have to do, Libun. And other things you have to do this and have to do that. That's his answer. Says Taisvis. V'yesh l'chalek ben etera balal ben isur balal, what I said earlier. V'hadam atzrik l'hu Ravashi Libun. And Ravashi, who says you have to take a blowtorch and really burn it, machmir atzmoya. Says the Taisvis, when you kasher from chametz to Pesach, is it hetera bala or isur bala? Anyone? If bread is bread, if noodles are noodles, how can you kasher? It's a hetera bala. So it's probably good enough to do something symbolic. But if it's isur bala, if it's to bread turned into chametz like Rashi, you actually have to kasher it the same way as usual. So you can look on the page and you can see the sources later. The Ramban says that 30 days before Pesach, every single piece of bread, noodles, etc., turned from permissible to forbidden. In our language, turned from noodles to chametz. Therefore, it's isur bala. You have to kasher it like you kasher any other iser. So, for example, a barbecue had hamburgers on it with breadcrumbs. How do you kasher the grapes? Blowtorch. According to the point of view of the Ravid on the left side of the page, no. Before Pesach, you're allowed to eat barbecued hamburgers with breadcrumbs. So it's hetera bala. So you can be making on the koshering of it. Where do you use this usually? In the big controversy about ovens that are not self-cleaning. Ovens that are self-cleaning is like Libun. Most ovens that are self-cleaning. No problem. Put on the self-cleaning. There's no self-cleaning. What did they tell you to do? Two points of view. These are the two points of view. The Ramban point of view is tough. You can't blowtorch your oven. You take a blowtorch to your oven. The minute you start, bye-bye oven. Am I correct?
No,
I'm not correct. You take a blowtorch to your oven, you're not going to ruin your oven? No. Okay, I give you the best of luck. I do not necessarily, personally, I want this recorded, say to do this at home. I've seen many in ovens where people took a blowtorch, the minute they started, they burnt the wire, the main wire, and that was the end of the oven. One second. Now, where do we use this? We say some people don't kasher their ovens for Pesach because they say it's isura bala, you need to blowtorch, we can't blowtorch, and therefore, you can't use the oven. The only way you can use the oven is if you double wrap, you do all these things. People tell me if you double wrap, you're not going to cook anything and you're going to die from, what do you call it when you eat something raw? Or you're going to go to the hospital?
From botulism.
According to the Ravid, in general, the oven doesn't need kashering because it's a tera bala. Mm-hmm. You cook things that are permissible. So what do we do symbolically? We say, do your best. Clean it out. Put it on the highest heat. And epis, that's like a libun, but what's not libun? That's what we call libun kal. Libun kal. And indeed, you have the two points of view here. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you need Libun. The Ramah says, Noagin Kesfarah Rishonah. But the Ramah says on the left side, V'yesh Mekilim, Im Nitlaben Kol Kach Shekash Nisraf Alav Mibachutz. Real Libun is when you basically burn it till it's crisp. The Libun we do for Pesach, it's good enough that if it's so hot that if you put a piece of newspaper next to it, it will start burning. That's good enough. It's based on the same Achlokas. If bread is bread, you're not really kashering. Let's be honest. You're not kashering. You have a great idea. You take a pot, you put boiling water in it, you do what you need to do, you take a grate, you do a little libun kal, and then Pesach comes, I got a kosher for Pesach grate. You never really kashered because it was never usher. It became usher on Pesach. By the time Pesach came, it was already kosher. According to the point of view that no, chametz before Pesach is an isser, forbidden, you have to actually kasher it as if it's pig. And that's libun chamor. And the Mishnah Berurah basically says in the bottom of the page, in general, you should do libun chamor. However, he says, im yesh makom hefsed merube o miniyat simchas yantev, if there's any sort of circumstances that doesn't allow you to do it, do libun kal, do agalas kelim. Be somech on the shittas that before Pesach bread is bread, and therefore it's not an Easter. So we saw a fascinating shir, in my opinion, this morning. 30 days before Pesach, does bread remain bread, or does bread turn into something forbidden? But we're allowed to eat it. The nafkamina is, can you make the bracha al biur chametz? And number two, do we treat bread like a forbidden food when we kosher it for Pesach? A pot that had bread in it or whatnot? Gentlemen, this is a fascinating question. We can give other Nafka Minas, but because of time, we'll stop here. But the bottom line is, when we talk about 30 days before Pesach, the halachic question we have to ask is bread remain bread? But you have to check the house because it's a good idea. Or no, bread turned into chametz, turned into something forbidden. And because it's forbidden, it's forbidden. And because it's forbidden, you make a bracha. And because it's forbidden, you have to kosher it as if it's forbidden foods. And onwards and onwards. That's the halachic question we have to ask about this enactment of the rabbis of 30 days before Pesach. Coming attractions. Next week, God willing, we will deal with the following question, which I think is a fundamental one. How come the rabbis made us clean for Pesach at all? We saw Mefurash Gemara, Bebitul Ba'al Masagi. Why in God's name do we need to clean for Pesach? Put all the Cheerios on the shelf, leave the schnapps, and just say, it's all hefker, it's all like dust to me, and don't eat it, and finished. Just kasha your kitchen. Why did they make us actually remove the chametz from the house, or sell the chametz, and basically clean for Pesach? Why is it that many, many women and men go crazy the minute they hear the word Pesach? They don't say, Pesach v'samachta b'chagecha. What's usually what a Jew says? Pesach. Oh my gosh, why am I Jewish?